My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Full hour of week one Hoffman Show Radio is right now. That was the weirdest way I've ever introduced a segment, Anthony. Man, I have Friday brain, and I'll just I don't know. We're gonna land this plane. You wanna know why, Anthony? You know why we're gonna land this plane?
Tell me why.
One, because they pay us to, and we don't really have a choice. Someone's gotta do this hour radio, and I don't see anyone else coming around. And two, because it's a Finish Friday, damn it. Because that is the spirit of the new Washington Commanders ecosystem, of which we are a part of. We are not a part of the team. We're independent journalists. But we're part of the ecosystem. And Dan Quinn said it's a Finish Friday. So we're going to finish strong.
I like the way you think, man.
If I'm getting credit for thinking right now, then I'm probably getting too much credit. All right, 6:30. We don't have to think anymore. We got a Take Command preview for you. Logan breaking down one of the key elements of this game, how Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury will handle the Todd Bowles pressure package. So we'll get to that at 6:30. But right now, it is time for our first regular season edition in 2024 of the Pick 6.
The 6 biggest Commander storylines.
It is cool!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so the Friday edition of the Pick 6 goes like this. We pick 6 players, 3 apiece, that we are most looking forward to watching this weekend. Who will be the biggest storyline come Monday? That's who we try to pick on Friday, with one ginormous caveat. The quarterback is not allowed. It's too easy. Can't talk about it unless there is some kind of extraordinary circumstance. So Jaden Daniels is off the board. However, I'm sure he will come up because we're going to talk about other players. But Anthony, I'm giving you the first pick. Thus, who is number one in week one's Pick 6?
Number one, I'm going to go with someone on the offensive line. And more specifically, I'm going to go with center Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah, you might. That is a great pick. Great pick.
The reason I'm going with Tyler is because of the blitz package that you were just talking about. You know, Logan's going to get into a little later at 6:30. But I think Tyler, he's going to be very important just because he's going to be able to help Jaden out. He's going to be able to communicate with this line that hasn't had a lot of reps together. And, you know, he's a veteran. So I feel as though, you know, he's seen a lot. He's played against Todd Bowles and things of that nature. So he kind of has, I'm not going to say an idea like what's going to happen, but he's going to be able to communicate with everyone about who to pick up, who's coming, and things of that nature. So especially when it comes to sliding protection.
Yeah, what he's got that Jaden Daniels doesn't is a file. Tyler Biadasz has played or started nearly 100 games at center in the NFL. He has seen a lot of different fronts. He's seen a lot of different coverages. Doesn't have to do a lot with those coverages. Doesn't really see them. I guess the coverages doesn't really matter. But he's seen them. And more importantly, he's seen all the different lines. He's seen the ways that teams stunt. He's seen blitzes. He's seen all these kinds of things that it's not just sliding the line. It's like, okay, who's the Mike or who we want to identify as the guy that we're going to pick up as an offensive line in this particular scenario, because, you know, when they mic someone, typically that's who they're anticipating. Hey, the offensive line's responsible for this. But if he sees Antoine Winfield coming down in the box and he's like, I know this blitz, he might mic Antoine Winfield and be like, I personally am going to take care of Antoine Winfield. However they communicate that, but the concept, right? So however they handle it, it is going to be a mix of Jaden Daniels and what they prep during the week, and a mix of Tyler Biadasz's, obviously what he's prepped during the week, but his experience. And so I love that pick. You know, if you can't pick Daniels because we take him off the board, saying, hey, who's the guy who's next most responsible for protection is a good one. And so I'm just going to go ahead and wipe out the offensive line. Or who? All, maybe you pick a third offensive line, but I'm going to wipe out offensive line here with number two.
Number two.
And I'm going to say Brandon Cornelius Lucas Coleman.
I'm crying. The tackle.
Because that's who's going to play left tackle, right? Realistically, I want to see Brandon Coleman. I want to see what he looks like. We haven't got a chance to see him all summer because the second he got elevated to that top line and was really starting to come on, he got hurt, and they've kept him out away from our eyes, or slash out because he couldn't participate, and then away from our eyes when they closed practice and got into regular season mode. And he's been practicing, allegedly, as a full participant this week. That's how he's been listed on the injury report. But Nikki told us earlier in the show that for the open portions, the very little that they have seen, it has been Cornelius Lucas. And then today, Dan Quinn was asked straight up, is there a chance that both these guys play? And Quinn said, not only is there a chance, that's the plan. So unless DQ's just Friday fibbing, which wouldn't be the first time a head coach does that, because he can always after the game be like, well, that was the plan, and then so-and-so was playing well, so we stuck with it, right? He can always, you know, pull off of that pretty easily and not say that he was lying the whole time. Or maybe that's the intention, and something happens where either Lucas starts and plays well, or Coleman starts and he's actually fine. And one of those guys winds up playing the whole game. But there's going to be a rotation at left tackle. I'm curious how that works in a lot of different ways. How different does the offense look from a play calling standpoint? It's something Cliff's got to be aware of who's in at what time. And then you kind of roll from there. So Brandon Coleman's the guy I want to know. I want to know how healthy he is. And we'll see that in part by how much he plays. I want to see what he looks like when he's out there. And I want to see how different this offense is when he is out there. And you truly feel like you have the range on the offensive line to go sideline to sideline. Where with Lucas, you don't quite have that mobility at the left tackle spot.
I love it, man. Want to go with number three?
Number three.
Number three, I'm going with a mix of Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes, simply because they will be tasked with defending Mike Evans.
So if you were to put this into one player, it would be, I'm not going to do the Benjamin St. Emmanuel Forbes juice spit, but I will say whoever is covering Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, because again, like they might not, you know, switch sides. So he might be on the right side one play, and he might go to the left side one play. So I think it's going to be both of those guys. But in five games against the Commanders or the Washington franchise, do you know how dominant this guy has been, Craig? He has averaged 121 yards, 26 catches for 605 yards. It's ridiculous, the numbers that he's put up against Washington. So if we want to have a chance at winning these games, we definitely have to limit this guy because he's had monstrous days against us.
Yeah. I was thinking about going with De'Ami Brown next, and I still haven't made up my mind on that. So don't hit the button yet. But what I will say is that those five games that Mike Evans has had, he has accumulated more yards than De'Ami Brown his entire career. De'Ami Brown, I believe, has 476, something like that, career yards. Mike Evans in five games against Washington has 652, you said?
605 yards.
605.
On just 20, my bad. 26 catches.
That is ridiculous. It is that is the thing that scares the bejesus out of me for this weekend. Is look, We all know that Washington has questions at the cornerback spot. We all know that that is going to be something that we monitor the entire year. And if by the end of the year these guys have proven that they ain't it, then that is going to be a huge priority for them in the draft. But I'm not going to write St. Juice or Forbes off by how they play week one. I'm not going to say if they get cooked that it's over. If they are, you know, not competing, that's a different story. But if they're there and they get some plays made on them by Mike Evans, add it to a long list of players that are good and bad that have had plays made on them by Mike Evans. Sometimes you just got to tip your hat to the other guy who's real, real good. The other thing that I'll say about Mike Evans in previewing this game is if Baker has a chance to throw to Mike Evans, he gonna try to throw to Mike Evans. And what you see a lot last year, I mentioned this earlier in the week, I took the time, thanks to NFL Pro, I can sort this stuff out now, where I sorted every single 20-plus yard in the air pass attempt that Baker Mayfield had. There was like 70 of them on the year, and I watched every single one of them. And there were, as I got later in the reel and started to pick up on some things, I was just like, that looks like cover two. And there's a bench route to Mike Evans. And so like this tiny window on the sideline, like 18 yards up the sideline, they will just run, or they did last year. And I assume that this is something that'll stay in the offense on some level, because it's a classic cover. Like this route exists in multiple cover two beaters. They used to call it a bench route here when like Jay was here. But you just like kind of run inside a little bit, run up. So you get the corner to kind of bite in and give you a little bit more space, run vertically. And then as you get to about 18 yards, you hard cut out. Or sometimes you take it up on an angle out, and Baker, like, that is a hard throw.
Yeah.
And Baker loves to throw that ball to Mike Evans. So generate big explosive plays. And then if the safety misses a tackle or is late or, you know, whatever, then obviously that's an even bigger problem. But he also had really big plays last year off a double move. So you got to be careful of those. So it takes a lot of discipline to just kind of trust and like make Baker make those throws. Because just because he throws it doesn't mean he's going to complete it. It's a hard throw. But you have to know that it's coming. You have to squeeze it. You have to play with a little anticipation. But you also have to play with a lot of discipline against Mike Evans. He's not the most sudden guy, but there is something about the way he moves that he is able to hit double moves on guys, get him to bite, and then get free over the top. So also, obviously, you got to track him through play action stuff, so the safeties are going to have a tough day. But, you know, they know all this. Doing it is the hard part. So we'll see what they do on Sunday.
Number four.
All right, I will go with De'Ami Brown, in part because I now feel guilty that I already said it out loud. But obviously, who is going to be the non-Terry McLaurin option? And really, the answer actually is Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is going to be the second most utilized offensive weapon, I think, in the passing game for Washington this year. I think some of the questions that folks have about Jaden Daniels' ability to attack the middle of the field, because he just didn't do it a lot in LSU, because why would you when you had what he had outside, are going to be answered when he just continuously dices defenses to Zach Ertz, and Ertz is having 8 catches for, you know, 76 yards every single week. I think that's possible. Probably not that level of consistency. That would be crazy, but he's going to look for Ertz over the middle, and he's going to be a big part. But you need someone else on the outside. You need to make, like, you're going to get one-on-one somewhere, right? So if you have, you know, backers and a safety kind of bracketing Ertz, if you're going to have a safety shaded to Terry McLaurin's side, which I absolutely would, if I'm like, Terry McLaurin can beat me or someone else can beat me, I'm making someone else beat me. And in an offense that Cliff runs, where it's designed to try to get some one-on-one looks to the outside, who is the guy that's going to take advantage of those? Obviously, Noah Brown, I think, as the season goes, is going to have a big role. But here in week one, has he had enough time to adapt? Or is it De'Ami Brown's position to lose? And if it is, can he show the consistency that he did in the preseason, where he had big plays down the field, caught some comebacks, showed some toughness? Because if De'Ami Brown, pass catcher, shows up this year, that's great for the Commanders. Because De'Ami Brown, run blocker, is a badass. De'Ami Brown, run blocker, will just knock some skulls. And so to have his physicality out on the field and have him on the field and not have it be a tell pass versus run slash, if it is a pass, we're not really worried about him, changes the dynamic of this offense. I know that feels like a lot to say about De'Ami Brown, but I'm telling you, that's the potential upside of a good De'Ami Brown season in this offense. And so let's see what it looks like. I'm very curious to see the wide receiver rotation. Obviously, they cut Pringle earlier today as someone who I thought could get some reps in that role. So if you missed that, breaking news, about 2 hours ago, they released Byron Pringle. No other roster move yet to see who's taking his spot. But yeah, Deami Brown, number four for me.
I love that pick. I think the time is now, man. Everybody's expecting this guy to take that next step. And why not, you know, do it?
And dude, if he does, like, he's a third round pick. Exactly. Like, sometimes it takes a couple years. That's why these guys, like, yes, he's not 6'4 and, like, built, you know, in the way that a first round guy is necessarily. But sometimes it's because later you go in the draft, it's not for lack of physical talent. It's because it takes a little bit longer. That guy's a little bit farther away, played in an offense in college that doesn't necessarily translate as well. And maybe this is the year that it comes together for Deami Brown. He's again, I don't think he's going to develop into an all-pro, but can develop into a legitimate starting NFL receiver.
Number five, I was torn, but I think I'm going to go with Frankie Louvu here.
It's great.
And part of the reason I say Frankie, just because he's going to have to show up not only in the run game, but also in the passing game. Rashad White, the running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that guy, he can do it all. He can catch out the backfield, and he can also, you know, take one to the crib if he's handed the ball off. So I think Frankie Louvu, in terms of just, you know, limiting the explosive plays from a Rashad White kind of player, because he's going to be tasked with defending that guy. And I want to say he was number seven last year in, like, all-purpose yards. So, again, like, this guy can do it out of the backfield. And we wouldn't want to have, you know, B-Wags, you know, chasing him. So I think that's going to be Frankie Louvu's job to, you know, show up there. But also, you know, when we blitz him as well. So I'm expecting a big impact game from Frankie.
Yeah, if you didn't pick Louvu, I felt like I kind of had to, because he's got such a varied role. And I am very curious to the deployment, too, because if you were like, okay, it's third down, who do you want to man up? And you want to run, like, some cover zero stuff. Who do you want man-to-man on the running back? Louvu is probably one of our better options. Okay, well, bad news. He's a defensive end now. Like, third down, he's going to be on the edge, and he's going to be trying to get after the passer. And that is hugely important. Mm-hmm. If you want to take pressure off, we talked about, you know, your number two, our number three collectively, guy who guards Mike Evans.
Yeah.
You want to make that guy's job easier? Make him cover for 2.5 seconds and have Baker face some pressure in his face versus clean looks after 3.5 seconds in a clean pocket. Yeah. Like, that is the difference in making plays in the NFL, like making life easy for coverage guys in the NFL. Versus making life terrible, versus if you get like real quick pressure, letting them jump routes and creating some turnovers. And obviously you can, you know, tip balls and strip sacks and all those kinds of things if you get the real pass rush wins as well. And so Louvu is probably their best pass rusher. So his ability to, you know, pass rush seems like it's a pretty important deal. But that what is crazy is that is actually only part of his job. Like, to be that important to the pass rush and then have all these other responsibilities tells you a lot about what they think of Frankie Louvu and how good of a player he can be. I think some of the other guys to kind of watch out for in that range, obviously Bobby's going to be critically important. I think Chin coming down in the box. I wonder if a guy like Dominique Hampton gets some snaps as well. Like, is he in kind of a dime linebacker role that gives them some versatility? Quan, like, this is kind of the thing about Joe Witt's, I got 17, 18 starters. He wasn't kidding. And that makes it really hard to figure out week to week. Like, we're going to see what they do this week, and it's probably not going to be the same in week two. Mm-hmm. You know, how you handle that Giants offense and the type of pressure you're willing to throw at them is different than maybe the pressure you're willing to throw at Baker. Because the other thing, too, that we haven't even talked about yet is, like, Tampa's O-line is really good. Tristan Wirfs is a beast at left tackle. Graham Barton, they spent a first-round pick on at center. You know, Cody Mauch had a pretty solid rookie year, but, like, needed to get a little bigger and adjust some things. And the reports out of their camp is, like, he did that. He came back to camp, you know, added the weight that he needed to, being a D2 guy. So, like, their offensive line's really good, and that allows them to do some things. One of the things that you saw with Canales last year is, like, very rarely were they keeping backs and tight ends in. Like, they got five out in the pattern. So you have to be able to cover, or you have to be able to get home. And so Louvu plays an enormous responsibility in both. And so watching how that plays out on Sunday is going to be interesting. And I also don't think it's going to teach us a whole lot about what this Commanders defense is going to be moving forward. It's going to take us 4 or 5 weeks to really understand what Joe Witt wants to do, because it might take 4 or 5 weeks for Joe Witt to figure out what Joe Witt wants to do.
Number six.
Last but not least, I'm going to go back on offense. I thought about going Dorrance Armstrong, but I kind of just made the point that I would have made on Dorrance Armstrong. So I'm going to go with Austin Ekeler. You know, kind of bringing it full circle, right? How do you help out Jaden Daniels in protection? How do you avoid some of the blitz pressures and packages that Todd Bowles is going to throw at Jaden Daniels? One, your running backs need to be super sound in the assignment, because that's often who blows protection, right? Is either the running back doesn't pick up the right guy, he's late, or he just gets his butt kicked. And by the way, shout out to Justice Hill in the Ravens-Chiefs game last night. On the last two snaps of the game, of which Lamar could have thrown a touchdown very easily on either one, he solo blocked Chris Jones. That's not the protection call I would have made, but shout out to Justice Hill for doing it. Austin Eckler's been a very good pass protector in this league for a long time, and he's also excellent in the screen game, which is another way that you can dispel pressure. If you can get pass rush upfield, that's less guys you got to block. They basically have taken care of themselves, and you get out in space, and Eckler's going to be a huge guy in that regard. You know, B-Rob obviously is going to be the main guy. If you can just run the ball down their throat, that would also be great. Eckler can be an effective runner, but I think Eckler as kind of that passing back, if you will, a guy who's going to be on the receiving end of swing passes, checkdowns, making guys miss, advance the chains, keep them in good down and distance, be solid in pass pro. I'll take Austin Ekeler as our last guy in the pick six for our week one edition. So that's how it goes. We pick six players, and then on Monday, we'll see how it all went. So 6 o'clock, same time, same place on Monday here on your radio. We will reveal or review how everybody did. When we get back, more preview, more depth. Logan Paulson joins the show as we discuss how Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, Austin Ekeler, all of them, Tyler Biadasz, how they take care of that Todd Bowles blitz package, what you anticipate in week one. More preview, Take Command style, next on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It is the Hoffman Show, final half hour here on a football Friday, a Finnish Friday, our first of the 2024 season, and it is our first chance to get you a Take Command game preview for all of the depth, for analysis on all parts of the game in the depth that you are about to hear. You got to check out the Take Command podcast, which we are making very easy for you. One, you can go search Take Command and listen to it like you listen to a podcast. But if you're not a podcast person, you can also tune in to Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan this weekend. Both of our episodes will be airing sporadically throughout the weekend in the lead up to the game against Tampa on Sunday. So extra bonus content. But right now, you don't got to go anywhere. All you got to do is wait for me to stop yapping and introduce the segment, which is Logan and I focusing in on what we think will be probably the biggest factor in this game, how Jaden Daniels and company handle Todd Bowles blitzes. Take Command preview time on a Friday. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Preview of Jaden Daniels' first NFL football game. All right, let's get into it, Logan. This Tampa defense is super interesting. It is one heck of a challenge for Jaden Daniels and for Cliff Kingsbury's return to the NFL. I was watching a bunch of their pressures this morning, and oh my God, they are coming from everywhere. Todd Bowles been around a long time. He's got a lot of creativity, and the way they deploy their personnel is super interesting. When you watch them defensively, and if you put your Cliff Kingsbury bucket hat on and try to prepare Jaden Daniels for this game, what's your top line item that you got to get him ready for?
Yeah, I think it's just understanding who Todd Bowles is. And again, like, it's really interesting because you're coming off, you know, this preseason, offseason where you haven't really showed anything. And one of the things about Todd Bowles, at least in reputation, I think it shows up on film too, to be fair, is that he does like to game plan his pressures. So he's going to, you know, understand kind of how you call your slides. And what I mean by slide is, like, if we're in a four-man front, like, where's the center going? And then if the center's going left, like, and I bring a third rusher to the right, like, does the back pick him up? Or do we have a tight end? Or is there a hot answer? And so he does a really good job, kind of like Wink Martindale. Again, the volume's not quite as high as Wink Martindale, but they do a good job of scheming up pressures and bringing different patterns. So each week you're kind of like, what are we going to see? Like, what's going to happen? And I think that can be really, really challenging. And it's so, especially for a young player, because it's not only the pattern of the blitz, but it's also who is not blitzing. So, like, there was a couple, I forget what game I was watching, maybe Minnesota was the first game last year. They're bringing, like, a third down pressure, and it's like a pseudo cross dog where the two guys cross inside, but they're doing it to the weak side. So a little bit spicy, but nothing crazy. But the 3-4 linebackers are dropping into coverage. And most 3-4 linebackers just kind of drop into coverage, and it's like they're just literally like a pylon at a spot, and they're not really covering anything. But obviously they coach those guys because they're trying to relate to receivers, which is very, very hard to do for those guys. But the fact that they're coaching that, I think, shows like what he's thinking about, because they live in it. They live in these pressure packages. They want these guys dropping out to be super effective. And obviously they have really good blitzers, like Lavonte David's a great blitzer. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a great blitzer. Obviously Devin White was maybe the best blitzing linebacker in the NFL last year, or at least one of the most prolific, not there anymore. But it's part of who they are culturally. And so on third down, if it's third and I'd say six plus, you're going to get something spicy. And so if you're Jaden Daniels, like, understand that. Understand who the opponent is. Understand, if you can, like, where the rotation is as best as possible, and try to understand where your best matchup is. It's going to be harder. Like, one of the things he did such a great job in the preseason of is identifying, hey, it's man coverage. I like this man matchup. Let me hit it there. Or it's zone. Let me work the zone side. But obviously in that Miami game, when there was a little bit more in, he had a mistake. And it's one mistake on 14, you know, whatever play, 25 plays, whatever he had in the preseason. So I'm not saying that, like, that's going to characterize this game. But what are the tools that Cliff is providing for him to dissect the coverage? What are the tools Cliff has installed to help the offense pick up some of these pressures and help Jaden Daniels understand where the hot is? To me, that is the crux of the game, is how do we stay out of crazy third long situations where we're going to get a ton of heat? And then when we're in those, how do I help this young player, if I'm Cliff, maximize these opportunities?
Yeah, I think watching their pressures was so fascinating because they make it I won't say they make it impossible to identify the known rushers, but they move them around more than maybe any defense I've ever watched. And, like, what happens a lot of times for 3-4 base teams, which they are, is, okay, now we're in nickel, now we're just going to go four down. That's how the Commanders used to play it back when they were in 3-4 back in the day with, like, Kerrigan and Preston Smith. Is like, the second they went to nickel, they just became a four down front, and it was like a 4-2-5 situation, right? What Tampa does more often than not is they'll be like, okay, we're going to keep our standing outside linebackers, and we're going to have two guys down, and it'll be Vita Vea and whoever else, and probably now Kalijah Kancey. You know, those will be our two down guys, and then we're going to keep standing linebackers. And, oh, by the way, here's this, or, like, you know, rush ends, right, edges, but they're standing. And now we're going to also bring this safety down in the box, and he might be coming, or he might bail out, or this linebacker might be coming, he might bail out. Or we might go three down, and, you know, but the guy who's lined up in the where a three technique should be, he's the guy who's standing. Yeah. And so it just is really, really challenging to identify who's coming from where. They move it around. Sometimes they do that with, like, simulated looks, again, where it's just four guys come in. Sometimes they do it with five or six. and it's fairly unpredictable. They'll rush on first down. They'll rush on second. Like, I literally sorted their pressures on NFL Pro, and it was like, I just scrolled down the list of plays to see what the down and distances were. Yeah. The amount of times they blitz on first and 10 is crazy.
They do blitz a lot. So they blitz a lot on third down, but they do bring a lot of like run stopping pressures on first down. Like, that showed up a lot, and I was a little surprised by that. Because it's like, that doesn't, you always think of blitzing on third down. But, you know, what I was talking to somebody, and they were like, you know, the number one thing that Todd Bowles is trying to do is stop the run. And so, you know, if you feel like you can't do it with your front, which is tough, it's tough to stop the runs in the NFL if you don't have movement in the front, like, I'm going to bring pressure. So I was a little surprised watching that last year. Because again, you think about, you know, Vita Vea, like, you know, Levante David, like, those guys are, you know, beasts in the interior of the defense. But they're four eyes, so like they're kind of more like defensive, like nose guard type bodies, but they line up over the tackles in a three down spacing. So you got someone over the center, you got someone over the tackles. Their four techniques are Kalijah Kansey, who's like 280 pounds, and Logan Hall, who is a skinny guy. He's like 290 pounds, but he's like 6'7". And they are a little bit more dynamic athletically, and they kind of remind me of like Philadelphia when we used to play them in 2000. I want to say like 11 to 14. They played a three down front, but they had all these kind of smaller bodies, and they would move them around a ton, and it made it really hard to create combinations. And I think you see a little bit of that, not that influence, but that kind of stylistically, where, hey, I'm Logan Hall on the backside of a run, the guard pulls, I'm going to shoot the gap, which a four eye never does. It's almost like they're playing like a three technique. So I think from a personnel standpoint, that blitzing on first down, to me, makes a little bit more sense, because I want Kalijah Kansey on the move, because he is rattlesnake quick, man. He is insane out there. So, and then again, Logan Hall moves around pretty well. They're not maybe the best four eyes I've ever seen play, but they are more playmakers than you would expect. And you couple that with Vita Vea and his power on the interior, like, it's a pretty formidable group. And if you think about it, like, Vita Vea is a first round pick, Kalijah Kansey is a first round pick, Logan Hall is a first round pick. The off rush end number 9 for them is a first round pick. Like, go down the list, you know, Yaya Diaby is a fourth round pick. Like, they have a ton invested in their front. Feels very similar to kind of Washington when, you know, Montez and Chase and Duron were all here, because like they've got some juice up there. And so that's really the thing that drives the defense, in my opinion. Some people might say the safeties, but I think it makes a lot of sense that he's bringing this type of pressure on first down. Because it lets those guys move around a little bit and be a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting. And again, they this is why they brought Tyler Biadasz in, right? It's because they wanted that veteran center to try to match up with the rookie quarterback who just doesn't have the file yet, even if he's an excellent processor of information. And he's got override ability and all that kind of stuff. And I think as the year goes, we'll see Jaden take more and more command over time. But there's a reason that they wanted, again, not just Biadasz, but we talked about this with the roster construction. Like, did Michael Dieter necessarily have the greatest camp and nail down his spot on the team with his play? No, but I think they wanted a veteran backup just in case something happens to Biadasz, to know that they have another veteran in the building for Jaden Daniels. And so then the question becomes, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, how do you use some of that speed, you know, all that kind of stuff, that aggressive, hey, we'll shoot the gap against you. I think, you know, can you get some good looks with some RPO or some read option? That seems to like it should be on the table. And then obviously you get into the actual pass concepts, Logan. And what do you think is on the table? Or is it more of a run heavy game plan? Is this a big Brian Robinson day? I just took him in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League. So I certainly hope every Sunday is a big Brian Robinson day. But how do you think they kind of, what's the linchpin of the attack? I'll ask it that way. What's the linchpin of the attack this week for how you would attack a Todd Bowles defense with all these moving parts that we've discussed?
Yeah, so I think the thing is, like, when you're bringing pressure the way Todd Bowles does on first down and on third down, like, his kind of, I think his base coverage structure is probably like a cover two or something like that, but they're never in it because they're blitzing so much. So what you see is, you see like a three deep, so like traditional cover three, like corners are deep, safeties deep. And then you see some form of three underneath. And so when you think about it from a coverage standpoint, it's just simple math, right? If I have three underneath coverage players, like, I can't cover as much grass. So there tends to be really huge throwing windows in the middle level of the defense. Obviously, you don't want to get too deep in there, but in the middle level of defense, like on digs and hitches and kind of these spot routes that are a little bit deeper in there, there's a ton of grass. So if you feel like you can pick up the pressure, I'd sling the rock a little bit, man. Like, I would throw it a little bit. Now, how confident are you that you can do that? I have no idea. And so one of the things they've talked about, or Dan's talked about from the jump, is playing complementary football. And people talk about, like, what does that mean? And so let's kind of peel that back a little bit. If I'm playing complementary football and I'm an offense, I need to get first downs. I need to chew a little bit of clock, right? Because we're kind of relying on the defense to support us offensively, and offensively we're supporting the defense. So if we go down and we go three and out real quick, we're not playing complementary football because we're letting the defense out on the field for way too long. If I score too quickly in some cases, I'm not playing complementary football. So I think you'll see them run the ball a lot, but I think you're going to see it from spread formations. Because you talked about how they still kind of play their 3-4 versus nickel. They do, but I think if you kind of play your cards right, you can get them in a four-down structure, which I just watching them, it doesn't feel like they want to be in that. And just from a number standpoint, it feels better for us. So let's say we've got five offensive linemen and B-Rob, and we're in a spread formation. If they lead six in the box, and we've got, you know, overhang players like these kind of slot receivers, and they have six in there, that means one of those dudes is open. So let's run a little RPO. Let's run a little zone read. Let's put those guys in conflict on first and second down. And then if they're going to bring pressure on third down, let's make sure we got a rock solid plan to pick this sucker up, whether that's leaving a tight end in, bringing it back in. Like, we can pick it up. And I think we've seen over the course of, you know, Ron Rivera's tenure here, when this team has played Todd Bowles' defenses, like, they've, like Scott Turner, to his credit, had great plans for the blitz. And Taylor Heinicke is able to dice them up in a playoff game and in their regular season game when they were throwing for touchdowns and stuff. So I think if you have a plan, that's how it's going to work. But I do think you need to run the football, again, to possess the ball a little bit, slow the game down, take some pressure off of Jaden Daniels. And so for those big moments where it's like, hey, in there, third's a five, you got to have it. He feels comfortable. So if you feel like you can pick up the pressure.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, it is time for the weekend. What, Anthony, we have one more piece of business to do. Final segment on a Friday during football season, as long as the Commanders are playing over said weekend, means we must pick the game. Bum, 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 bum. Who you got? Bucks, Commanders. Bucks are favored. They're at home. 425, Fox, Sunday.
So I'm not going to lie, Craig. I was leaning Bucks, but I think I'm feeling a little optimistic about the Commanders this weekend, and I'm going with the Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels is going to do what RG3 did in his debut, and that's get a dub over an NFC South opponent.
On the road, right? That was at the Superdome?
On the road, baby. Say it ain't so.
I don't think it's going to be so. I do have a funny feeling about this weekend, but I also feel like I had, like, a lot of times last year, I'm like, I don't know. You talk yourself into it by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's what
and
it is.
I'm trying to be better about that this year. It'd be fun to go back and look. Like, we obviously keep track of our records. We should separately keep track of our Commanders' records.
Okay.
That's probably a good idea for us this year, because I'd be curious to know if we're above or below. Like, what's our winning percentage overall? What's our winning percentage with the Commanders? Or, like, really, what's our winning percentage without the Commanders? What's our winning percentage on Commanders games? I am going to, in the interest of what I think is the most correct, I'm going to pick the Bucks. I think the Bucks are talented, and I think they're the Mike Evans thing scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
I do believe that Forbes and St. Juice will be better this year. I think Forbes will set St. Juice will set a career high in picks, which isn't hard. He's only going to get two. I think Forbes will have some big plays this year, but, like, they're going to attack those corners, and it is really, really tough to cover Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all the other dudes they got. It's not like they're you know, it's not like it's just Evans either. So I definitely have questions about the secondary. Again, I believe in the rebuild long term. I think the right people are in place. I just think it's a long process, and this is baby step number one. The first time we get to see it. As long as they're competitive, they go out, play well, end up on the wrong end of the scoreboard, like, I'll be pretty satisfied with that. But realistically, if I'm picking the game based off who I think is going to win, on the road, rookie quarterback, blitz happy defensive coordinator on the other side, super talented in places where there's a weakness on the Washington side of thing, I got to go with more than vibes. I'm going to go with the Bucks, and I would love nothing more than to be wrong. That's not true. I would love to win the lottery more. Outside of that, I would love to be wrong.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Craig. Same. I hope you're wrong.
Same. But our history suggests that I'll be more right than you. All right. Last but not least. I'm sorry. I really got to be nicer to you on the picks thing.
It's okay. You were 11 games better than me last year. And I'm looking to take a step forward, Craig.
I would love that for you.
Me too.
It's time for real things.
Real things.
We're not going to be suck this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Real quick, we didn't do favorite thing on the show today. I'm going to actually, instead of plug in our favorite things on the show today, tell you there's some bonus content available in the Hoffman Show universe. If you enjoy Noah Eagle on the call tonight and want to learn more about his summer with Dwayne Wade calling basketball and LaChyna Robinson calling basketball and what it's like growing up being him with Ian being his dad, the whole deal. We had a great conversation. Full thing is on my YouTube page and the Team 980's YouTube page at Craig Hoffman. Also, great interview, great chat with Washington Spirit defender Tara Micchione about Alex Morgan retiring and about her continued excellent play at a position she's been playing for not very long. And if you want to see her play, there are a few tickets remaining to tomorrow's game against Portland Thorns, where Tara is going to have to deal with Sophia Smith. But you'll have a very magical new fan cheering her on. That's right, newest, as we transition smoothly into real things, newest Washington Spirit investor, Irvin Magic Johnson.
Hi, this is Magic Johnson. Come join me. I'm going to be at the Washington Spirit game tomorrow. Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be off the chain. You got to come on out. We're going to be having a good time. We're going to win. It's exciting. And the Magic Man will be there.
I love my favorite part of that, Anthony, is the end. Yeah. When, like, he just unleashes full Magic Man, and you're like, this is incredible. I'm so hyped up. And then it just ends. And I just imagine being like, you're the social media manager with the camera. You're like, he's like, is that good? You're like, yeah, that was good. Thanks, Magic. That was great. I'm going to go post this right here. Great to meet you, Mr. Johnson.
That is precisely what happened. Because he just froze, like.
Yeah.
And done. He's so tall, too, though. So.
So tall. Yeah. Famously tall. All right, that's our show for the week. Appreciate everybody listening, watching, taking it in all the ways, and we'll see you on Monday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.